at all, studying these things of the Apostle Peter. And then we came down to the last one of these things, which was love. And we pivoted to the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians. And I've been teaching the first 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians tonight. I'm going to teach verse 11. Open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I'll read verses 9 through 11 and teach from the 11th verse. I'm going to teach tonight on this subject, the test of spiritual maturity. You're going to find out tonight whether you're a mature Christian or not. Let me put it this way. You're going to find out tonight that you're a baby Christian. But tonight you're going to find out whether or not you are a mature Christian, because I'm going to show you the test, the Bible test of mature Christianity. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 9. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, we discussed that last week, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I want you to understand, we're talking about love here. This entire chapter is the love chapter. So this whatever it says in verse 11 has a direct connection with love. So, it says, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. Now turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, just a few pages before 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. Bear in mind that we just read a verse that said that when I was a child, I put away childish things. When I was a child, he says, I behaved like a child. But then I became a man, I put away childish things. Now we come back to find out something about why he used that term, and look at verse 1 of 1 Corinthians 3. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. Now, I have fed you with milk, not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For you're carnal, whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul. Now, we're talking about spiritual babies here. We're showing you the marks of spiritual babies. And Paul said he used to be that way. But he said, when I became a man, I put away childish things. While one saith, I am of Paul, another, I am of Apollos, and are you not yet carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom you believe, even as the Lord gave to every man? Father, I think I'm going to touch a nerve center of the Christian life tonight, and I have given diligence and time and prayer to this study, and I pray that it will not fall on stony ground, a thorny ground, but may it fall on good ground and take root so we may learn what it is to be mature Christian people. In Jesus' name, amen. Rocco and Jennifer DePeace have something in common with Ms. Howes and me. We're both musical teams. Thank you very much. I wish you knew these people. We're prone to think because someone has a talent like that, talent nothing, they worked hard to get there. But we're prone to think sometimes that they're not normal people like we are. The truth is, that's one of the most humble couples you'll meet in this church. And sometimes in some areas, Mrs. DePeace feels like she is inferior. She has an inferiority complex. Rocco is inferior. But these are lovely people. And I wish you knew that what kind of people sing up here. Set up straight. Let's listen carefully as I try to help you. Father, bless me tonight as I teach what I think is an important subject, because it's in the Bible. Everything in the Bible is important, but tonight something very especially important, I think. So bless me as I teach. I pray everybody shall sit up straight, listen to me, let you talk to them through the Word of God. Amen. please listen very carefully, everybody. Point number one, the Bible speaks of spiritual maturity. For example, in the famous verse in Matthew 5:48, it says, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect." That word is in the future perfect tense, which means be ye therefore, be on your way to being perfect. Now the word perfect there in the Greek is the word maturity. Be on your way to spiritual maturity. It does not mean that you grow up overnight, just like a child doesn't grow up overnight. And one thing we fundamental Baptists need to learn to do is realize that everybody doesn't grow up overnight. If somebody is growing a little baby may grow just a tiny bit. In fact, at first, the child may lose a little bit. But we're patient to let the child grow up. And yet, we begin to doubt somebody's salvation if they don't become within 20 minutes what took us 20 years to become. But the Bible says, "Be ye therefore on your way to maturity." So there is a spiritual maturity. For example, in the last verse of 2 Peter, it says, "But grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." Now, that is in the linear tense, which means grow in grace and grow in grace and grow in grace and grow in grace and grow in grace. Doesn't say be grown in grace, because we'll not be grown till we awaken the likeness of Christ and are with Him. And we'll not be totally mature until we awaken the likeness of Christ, or totally perfect according to Matthew 5:48. But what I want you to start off with is the Bible does speak of spiritual maturity. Now tonight I plan to teach you what that spiritual maturity is and let you find out if in fact you are maturing or mature as a Christian. Number one, I said, the Bible speaks of spiritual maturity. Number two, it also speaks of spiritual infancy. Of spiritual infancy. Hebrews 5:12 talks about you have to your babes and you have to have milk instead of meat. And then, of course, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the Apostle Paul said, "When I was a child, I behaved like a child. When I became a man, I put away childish things." And then in 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, it says, talks about babes in Christ. So, follow me carefully now. I said, number one, there is a spiritual maturity. Number two, there is a spiritual infancy, such as Paul mentioned in 1 Corinthians 3:1. "I could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto babes in Christ." And by the way, that word babes there in 1 Corinthians 3:1 is the same Greek word where Paul said, "When I was a child, I speak as a child." What he's saying is, when I was a baby in Christ, I speak like a baby in Christ. And when I became a man, I put away those babyish things, if you please. Now listen carefully now. Look out this way. Number one, there is a spiritual maturity. Number two, there is a spiritual infancy. Now everybody in this room tonight is in one or the other. You are either a spiritual child or you are a mature Christian. And I'm going to tell you tonight what the difference is. Just what is the test? Am I mature? Are you mature? Am I still a babe? Are you still a babe? Just what is the test that determines whether or not I'm a child or a mature Christian? Now, follow me carefully. Bear in mind that in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 11, he's talking about love. So he said, "When I was a child, I spake as a child, behaved as a child," so forth. He's talking about love. The whole thing is talking about love. "I used to have a child's love," he says. When I got adult love, I put away the child's love. Now then, what is the child's love? You know what the child's love is. It's phileo. There are two words for love in the Bible. Don't miss it. There are two words for love in the Bible, at least two main ones. Phileo, which means I love you because of what you are. And then there's agape, that means I love you because of what I am. Phileo is determined by the object, and agape is determined by the lover. So what he's saying is this. He's saying, if you love somebody because of what they are, "I just love her, she's so sweet," then you're a baby. God's been mighty good to me. I love him for it. That is phileo. See? That's child love. And that's immature love. Remember the Apostle Paul said, some of you, you're followers of Peter, and some of you are followers of Paul, and some of you are followers of Apollos. And this church had divided up into four groups, those who followed Peter, those who followed Paul, those who followed Apollos, and those that said, we don't follow any man, we just follow Jesus. Now, the truth is, some liked Apollos better, and they loved him. Now, that's childish love. Some liked Peter better, so they love. That's childish love. And some love Paul better, that's childish love, because they like Peter because they like his type. Some like Apollos because they like his type. And some like Paul because they like his type. Now then, that means they're talking about love here. So spiritual maturity depends on how you love. If you love somebody because of what they are, okay, I love her because she is so pretty and so sweet. That's baby love. And most people that stand right here to get married have nothing more than baby love. And that means if they don't treat me right later on, then I'll divorce them, or I won't be good to them, or I'll separate from them. Why don't you grow up? Paul said, when I was a child, I speak as a child, I behaved as a child, acted like a child. Now what he was saying was, there is a baby love, and that the baby love is, if I don't get my way, I cry. I was on the airplane the other day, did what I'd done before. Right across the aisle from me, there was a little precious child. Demon possessed. And I've done this 4 or 5 times before, do it often. And the child was running up and down the aisle of the airplane. And mother couldn't do a thing with the child. And she'd bring him back and set the child on her lap, and the child starts screaming. And so I was right across the aisle. And I said, ma'am, would you like me to hush your child? And she said, what would you do? I said, I won't tell you. I'll show you, but I won't tell you. She said, never mind. I said, call me if you need me. She needed me. The child was upsetting everybody on the airplane. So finally, the little child sat screaming, and the mother said, mister, you still want to help me? I said, yes, ma'am. And she said, go ahead. I said, okay, you look out the window. Don't look at, just out the window. Don't look at me, just out the window. The child was screaming. I said, hell! A little child, I think I heard him say, never man speak like this man. He speaks as one who has authority. Ladies and gentlemen, for 1 hour that child froze. The only time that child would move his neck was to look at me and see if I was still there. That's the only thing. Now, why was that child crying? That child wanted its way. Just that child, it was good if everything turned out right. And by the way, most of you have that same kind of love. I don't love my wife anymore. You never did love her as an adult. It was baby love. I don't love my husband anymore. It was baby love, because mature love does not depend upon the object to inspire the love, but depends upon the lover to inspire the love. So the Apostle Paul is saying, I put away childish things. And he's talking about love here. I put away childish love when I became a man, and now I am mature. So there is a child love and a mature love. We're going to talk about that mature love tonight a little bit, and see if you, in fact, are mature. So the difference is either phileo or agape. If you love because of what I love him because he's so sweet. I love her because she's so nice. I love him because he's so good. Let me illustrate what. No, I better hold off for that a minute. So this was the state of the Corinthian church. They were loving Paul because of what Paul was, and some were loving Peter because of what Peter was, and some were loving Apollos because of what Apollos was. Peter, that loud, bombastic preacher, Bible says he kicked over microphones while he preached and beat the pulpit and ran across the platform. And some folks said, boy, I like that. Other people said, those microphones cost money. No need for him to do that. We like the Apostle Paul. He just stands up there behind the pulpit and teaches the Bible to us, a deep Bible teacher. We like him better. Others said, we don't like any one of them so well. We like Apollos. Boy, that guy can use the language, and he's an eloquent speaker. We like him better. Follow me carefully. Some like Peter because he was bombastic. Some like Paul because he was quiet. Some like Apollos because he was eloquent. And all were babies, the Bible says. Infants, babes in Christ. Why? Because their love for their preacher was a phileo, depending upon what he was and not what they were. So, hear me carefully. But spiritual maturity is when you love with agape. And that means that you love the unlovely as much as you love the lovely. School teacher, when you get to where you love that little rebel as much as you love that little angel, you're going to come pretty close to having agape. Now, spiritual maturity is when you love because of what you are. Now, that means you love your enemies. If, hear me now, if you don't love your enemies, you have a baby love. Paul said you're babes. Why? Because you love those that are your friends. Anybody can do that. He said in the Bible, said, but what merit is it for you? Anybody can love those that love them. Anybody can love the lovely. But the Bible says if you ever grow up, it'll be when you get to the place where you love your enemies just like you love your friends. This is adult Bible study tonight. Adults only. So maturity is loving the unlovely. It's loving the unloving. It's loving the unlovable. And it is loving your enemies. If tonight you love somebody because of what they do for you or to you or with you, now I'm going to get that trial and show you how that's not all bad, but if that's all you have, then you are not a mature Christian. I don't know many mature Christians. I mean that. I don't know many mature Christians. I was talking to a preacher the other day. One of my dear, beloved friends, he's preached behind this pulpit before, and he said, I can't do what you do. He said, folks rip me up and tear me up. I can't love them like you do. I didn't tell him this, but he's got a baby love. He's got a baby love. I got up here at pastor school, and I said, I love the people that got mad and left this church. I was their pastor. I love them. Bible says love never faileth. That means I love those that got mad and left this church, and I love them. And this somebody, preachers have said to me, that doesn't make sense. I said, the reason is, you got baby love. Baby love loves because your senses appeal to your senses. And mature love means I love them because I love them. That's mature love. So, listen carefully. How much Bible you know doesn't determine your spiritual maturity. How much you pray doesn't determine your spiritual maturity. How much you love God doesn't determine your spiritual maturity. Anybody love God? Wait a minute now. What determines your spiritual maturity? If you love your enemies. Now, let me pivot a second. This matter of our love for God must be a mature love. A lot of you folks don't love God with an agape love. You know why? For example, God sure has been good to me. If that's why you love God, then you're not a mature Christian. Well, you say, Brother House, why should I love God? Because God said you're supposed to love Him. It's a commandment. The greatest commandment, to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, body, and soul. This is the greatest commandment. Now, if you love God, you folks will get bitter at God. You're babies. If you say, boy, God's been good to me, I love the Lord because he's been good to me, that is baby love. The Apostle Paul said, I put that away when I became a man. I love God now because I'm supposed to love God. And by the way, even if I think God has mistreated me, I still love him. I've oftentimes have felt like God shortchanged me, but still love him. Why? Because it's agape. You can't stop agape. All the demons in hell can stop agape. And agape means you love because of what you're... It is the love of Christ flowing to somebody through you. It's what it is. Now, our love for God, hear me now, our love for God is supposed to be agape love. There is not one command in this entire Bible, not one command for us to phileo God. Not one. It never says your love for God. Anytime it says love God, it's agape, which means you are not to love God because of what he is, but because of what you are. Consequently, our love for God is to be an agape love. Now, I'm talking to folks tonight. You let God do something you don't like, and you'll be upset with God. That's because you're a baby. You're an infant. Paul said, that's not the way I love God. When I became a man, I put away childish things. Now listen carefully to me. It's time, ladies and gentlemen, it is time, I've said it again and again and again and again, it's time that God's people got the kind of love that is genuine, godly love, and God doesn't love you because of what you are, God loves you because of who he is. And you're supposed to love your neighbor, your friend, and your enemy with the same love that God loves you. Let me go to the next door. Follow me carefully. Our love for man. It's in the statement. You, hear me now, you can't love anybody until you love everybody. Hear what I said? You can't love anybody until you... You said, preacher, that doesn't make sense. Babies never do understand stuff like this. I said again, you can't love agape, God's love, real love. You can't love anybody until you love everybody. I won't turn to it, but in Romans chapter 15 and verse 2, it says, do good, and the word is charity there. Be charitable or loving to all men. All men. You say, preacher, are you trying? I'm not trying to tell you anything. I'm reading the Bible to you and showing the Bible to you. And agape has no conditions whatsoever, so it doesn't have any restraint. It means that if you love anybody, you love everybody, and I'd be ashamed if I were you to give my wife a piddling little phileo kind of a baby love. I'd want to give my wife the greatest love I could, the love of God himself flowing through me from God to her. That's adult love, but I can't love my wife unless I love everybody. And you can't love yours. And you can't love your husband unless you love everybody. Because this kind of adult love, when I was a child, I spake as a child, behaved like a child, understood as a child, and so forth. I became a man. I put away childish things. That's right smack dab in the chapter on love. 1 Corinthians 13, the Apostle Paul says, I used to love like a child, but now I love like a man. I used to love like a baby, but now I love like an adult. But Paul, what is that love you're talking about? I do good to all men. I love all men. So, consequently, you cannot love anybody. Now, you know what I feel like right now? I feel like I'm exiled to the Isle of Patmos. I feel like that maybe somewhere, somebody in this room understands what I'm saying. But whether you understand it or not, it's as much in the Bible as John 3:16 is. And some of you people out there go criticizing, man, these baby Christians, they watch the HBO. These baby Christians, they listen to rock music. Baby Christians are those that don't love everybody. At pastor school, you thought I was a freak.
pastor said, you mean Little House? Folks are getting mad and strip my church. I'm supposed to love them?
No. You can love with the baby love. You can love with the baby love if you want to.
Look, it's no big deal me to love this guy right here. He stood by me for 41 years almost with much sacrifice and given up friends of a lifetime for me. It's no problem me to love him. It's no problem me to love this man right here. He's worked with me over 35 years as my associate pastor. It's no problem. He's a good, godly man. John Colston's lovable. But how about the fellow tried to wreck my ministry? Now, if I love Brother John because he's been with me 35 years, been loyal and faithful, or if I love Brother Ray because he stood with me through thick and thin and given up friends of a lifetime for me, then that's a baby love. But if I love them because I'm commanded by God to love them and love them because of what I am, that means I love the people that didn't stand beside me 35 years. That means I love the people that didn't give up friends of a lifetime. That means I love the people that left me when the battles came. That means I love the people that have fought me the most. You sound understand that. If you listen, you would. You will never, never be mature as a Christian until you get mature love. And the Apostle Paul said that mature love is agape love, which is determined by the condition of the lover and not the condition of the love. Now, listen carefully. I want to encourage you right now a little bit. You can't have both. Makes you feel better, doesn't it, young people? You can love her because she's pretty. If that's not the foundation love. Give me an example. Listen carefully. When God the Father talks about His love for the Son, one place He mentions He agapes the Son, Jesus. Another place He mentions that He phileos the Son. So the Heavenly Father says, first, I love Jesus, my Son, because of what I am. Then He said, I also love Him because of what He is. I love Mrs. Hiles. 2 + 2 = 4. Sunrise East sets in the West. I love her. I love her when she's good. I love her if she ever is bad. Now, the truth is, I love her. But there's nothing wrong with me enjoying her beauty, enjoying her caresses, enjoying her meals, enjoying the nice house that she keeps for me. Nothing wrong with that at all. If the foundation of it all is agape. So, when the Heavenly Father said He loved Jesus, His Son, He said, I agape Him, but He also said, I phileo Him. It is something else. Jesus was talking to John the Apostle once, and He said concerning John the Apostle that He, Jesus, agaped John the Apostle. Then, another place in the Bible, it says that Jesus phileoed John the Apostle. What does it mean? It means that behind the heart of Almighty God, behind the breast, in the breast of Jesus, the virgin-born, eternal Son of God, there was a love that could not be shaken. No matter what John did, He loved him. It also means when John leaned on Jesus' breast, He liked that too. Are you listening to me? So I'm saying, If you love everybody, there's nothing wrong with you loving everybody and liking some more than you like others. You with me? Anybody home? We'd love to have you visit with us if you can anytime you want to. Now listen carefully to me. Who's that person that hates you? You say, well, how do I know who he is? He's the one you're thinking about right now. The person you don't like. Follow me carefully. You cannot love one of these men on the platform and not love all of them. God was not saying to the Christian people that you're supposed to, these are robots up here, supposed to love Peter and Paul and Apollos exactly the same. He's not saying that at all. He's saying you're supposed to love all three.
Now, if there's something about one of them that makes you have a little closer, more affinity, for example, let's take Jeff Owens here. Jeff Owens is quick on the draw. He can knock the eyeball out of a rock music star, draw just like that, and hit him in the left eyeball. He can hit a mosquito in the left eyeball when he draws. Jeff Owens is quick on the draw. Johnny Colson, it takes him 15 minutes to get the gun out of the scabbard. These guys are as opposite as daylight and dark. For example, here's where they're opposite. Brother Owens stays awake during the sermon. Now, wait a minute. If somebody said, I don't care for Johnny Colston. Oh, I sure do love Jeff Owens. No, you don't. No, you can't love anybody unless you love everybody. Now, if you say, I mean it, I love Johnny Colston, I love Jeff Owens, but Jeff is more my type. Or, if you say, I love Johnny Colston, I love Jeff Owens, but Johnny Colston is more my type. There's nothing wrong with that. Because even the Son of God himself said concerning his beloved John, I agape you and I also phileo you. Now, ladies and gentlemen, it's up to you. If you want to wall around in your spiritual crib, suck your spiritual pacifier, go ahead. You young people, I can't stand her. Baby. Let's get your bottle and warm your bottle. Let you suck your bottle a while. Go down and get some diapers. We'll change your diaper for you. Well, my boy's got a school teacher who misteaches him. Boy, I can't stand that teacher. Baby. Thank God we don't have to pay a nursery worker to take care of all the spiritual babies. Now, you listen to me.
Grow up!
Well, you said, how do you get a agape? You decide. I've said before, God never gives you a command that you can't will to obey. When God commands you to love your neighbor, you can decide to love your... Right now, this very moment, you can decide to agape your neighbor because God commanded you to. When God said, agape your enemies, love your enemies, yeah, that means that he would never order you to do something you could not will to do. And you right now can say, by cracky, or praise the Lord. Yeah, by cracky, I think is better in this case. But you can say, by cracky, starting tonight, on this night, 2000 A.D., May 24th, 2000 A.D., tonight, I am going to love my enemy. How do you do it? You do it. Grow up. By the way, whoever taught you kids that you could love one teacher and hate the other sold you a bill of goods too. You know, somehow or other, we have the idea that the Bible's for adults. You listen to me. You listen. Yes, teenagers, listen to me. Little children, you listen to me. This Bible is written to every single born-again child of God. And that means not one single teenager is to do anything but love every other teenager. I can't stand her. Baby. Get your pablum out. Get your bottle and nipple. Get your little pacifier. Get your little birdies and put them over the bed. Anybody going to rescue me from this island of Patmos I'm on tonight? Preachers don't even understand this. All over America, preachers don't love each other. And a preacher that does not love another preacher does not love any preacher with Bible love. Since agape, Bible love, has nothing at all to do with the object. When you grow up, you love everybody. Everybody.
I bumped into one of my bitterest enemies. I mean, bitter. I mean, if he saw me on fire, he'd pour kerosene on me. Bitter. I walked up to him and I said, I want you to know something. I love you. I love you. And he said, I can't understand that. And I said, I don't think you can. But you don't have to. If I don't love that man who's given his life to destroy me, I can't love you. Does that make sense? Is it not true that if real love is not the cause of the object, that you love everybody because of what you are? Hear me carefully. I could not give you mature love if I did not love those that left this church. A preacher said the other day to me, Brother Howes, I understand that. You said, people trying to destroy you. He said, I got folks that left me, trying to destroy me. They're still trying to destroy me. And you tell me I'm supposed to love them? I said, that's not what I said. I said, God tells you you're supposed to love them. Higher preachers, please. I tell you what, we had a church split. The best thing that ever happened to us, good riddance, bad rubbish. I'm sorry. If I don't, you better thank God I love my enemies or I wouldn't love you. Because you agape nobody or everybody. So, having agape gives me the right to have phileo. If the Corinthian people, and I repeat, if the Corinthian people had loved all of these men, Paul, Peter, Apollos, then they could have had a perfect right to have had their choice of what they preferred. But the fact that they only loved one of the three meant they didn't love the one. So, ask a question. Are you a mature Christian? You going to vote me out? Now, you listen carefully to me. If you really love your children, your husband, your wife, your mother, your father, you'll want to give them a mature love. But you can't give them a mature love if you love some and don't love others. Because if you love some and don't love others, that means that you're loving because of what they are or not loving because of what they are not. You remember when Jesus said to Judas Iscariot, Friend, Judas Iscariot, the one who betrayed him, the one who sold him for 30 pieces of silver. Friend. Now, that means, if Jesus had not loved Judas, he could not love me. You follow me? Anybody home? He could not love me if he hadn't loved Judas. Because if ever I get cattywampus, he wouldn't love me either. God does not love you because of what you are. Please don't misunderstand me. God doesn't love Jennifer Peace because she has a beautiful voice. He loves her. He'd love her if she sang up with the Colston Sings. And David won't play his harp up with the Colston Singing. That's the guy for me. If you ever decide that you want to give those that you love real, mature love, you're going to have to get agape. And agape loves everybody. Everybody. Well, you don't know what he did to me. Let me buy you a playpen. Get you a baby bed. I'll get you some booties, a diaper shirt. And by the way, you better thank God tonight you're not dressed according to your spiritual age. So the apostle writes the Corinthian people. He writes the Corinthian people and he says, I won't tell you about love. And he goes, one thing after love suffereth long, is kind. Love faileth not. Love never faileth. And goes on, describes this unconditional love. And then he says, I used to be where you are. Yeah. I was where you are. I used to be a child. I used to phileo. I used to love because of the object. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. And I got a new love, a mature love. So I'll close with this and repeat a bit. You're not mature because of how many verses in the Bible you memorized. You're not mature because of how many people you won to Christ lately. You're not... Did you ever stop and think about 2 Timothy 3:18? It says grow in what? Now follow me carefully. Don't miss this. Grow in what? Grow in what? What is grace? Get this now. Grace is unmerited love. That's what it is. Check it. It's unmerited love. Grace is, I love you in spite of the fact that you're not lovable. You don't deserve it, but I love you anyway. That's grace. And Paul said, Peter said, grow in grace. Same thing he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Put away the childish love and get the adult love. And that is love, that is growth in grace, which means that you don't love people that deserve to be loved. You love people even if they don't deserve to be loved. Somebody said, do I talk like one? I talked like this not long ago in a conference. Well-known preacher came up to me and he said, you're the only man that does that. And I said, it's not true. It's not true at all. But I said, I'd hate to be your people. I'd hate for you to come to stand up and preach to me without loving everybody. Because if you love everybody, you love those that don't love you. You love those unlovable, unloving, and unloved. If you don't love those, you can't love your people. So you stand up and say to your people, I love you. What does that mean? I love you because you pay me a good salary. I love you because you are good to me. I love you because you bought me a new car for our 40th anniversary. Now you listen to me. I loved you before you ever even thought about getting us a car. It has nothing to do with it. Nothing at all to do with it. It just looks like to me that if you love somebody, you'd want to give them the pure, unadulterated, mature love of God, the greatest love you can give. And you cannot give that great love until you love everybody. So mature Christianity is loving your enemies. It's loving your enemies. Okay, let's check the test. Are you a baby? Well then, cry. We'll take you to the nursery. But to build one about twice the size of this auditorium. Or are you going to say, by the grace of Almighty God, I'm going to obey my God? Who commanded me to love my enemies? Who commanded me to love my neighbor? And the word, the same word that is used when God commands you to love your enemy is the same word when He commands you to love Him. Same commandment. The same God says to the same people the same thing
concerning love your enemy and love him. Because God, listen, God knows if you don't love somebody because they're unlovable, God knows that you won't love him if you think he's not treating you right. And God wants you to love him. Like Job, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. That's agape. That's agape. Now, I'm supposed to say to other people, though they slay me, yet will I love them. Because if I love my enemy, I can come to you and love you like you ought to be loved. And by the way, as I said last week, perfect love casteth out fear. That means you will never have to be afraid that I'll quit loving you. That means if you love me like you ought to love me, if I throw a fit, tell the ushers to straighten up, tell the PA men to go jump, you still love me. So, ushers, I'm trying to say tonight, I ask you, measure your love. Test. Child, have you put away childish love? Now, once you have put away phileo and substituted agape, then the Lord says, okay, now you can phileo too. Because if you love everybody, that means, but I've said so often, I love everybody, but don't like everybody the same. Now, that means if a person I don't like as much as I like somebody else, if he's in trouble, I'll help him as much as I help the fellow I like more. There's a fellow within, I won't tell you how far. I'm going to close with this. There's a fellow that turned on me, hated me with a passion, still does. He's not in the ministry anymore, but he hated me. I mean, passionately hated me. His wife died. We took an offering for him out here in this church. You didn't know he hated me. I didn't tell you he hated me. We took an offering for him and sent him a check for almost $2,000. He sent the check back. He said, maybe you don't know that I hate you. I sent the check back to him. I said, maybe you don't know that I love you. He loves me with a baby love. I love him with an adult love. Shall we stand, please?